Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Video Games Now podcast. It's Rodney, joined by Will.
Back again.
And we have two very special guests on the show today. From JT Music, we have John.
Hey, guys.
And we have Christian.
Hey, how's it going?
So you guys are super famous on YouTube, making some dope music videos. And you know I mean it, because I never use the word dope on this podcast. Will can attest to that.
Yeah, that's a new word for him.
Yeah. So, we're going to talk to JT Music and find out why they love doing what they're doing. And we're also going to touch on music in video games and why it's so great and so important to the story and every other aspect of making a video game. And why don't we get right into it? All that's coming up right now. All right, so JT Music guys, John and Christian, why don't you guys tell us a little bit about yourselves? We'll start with John.
Yeah, I'm John. We're both originally from Maine, so I'll just start off that. But we started the whole YouTube thing just to keep in touch because I had moved down south to North Carolina, and we kind of just started off the whole thing to keep in touch and for fun. You know, we never expected to turn into this. You know, this was back in 2008 before. Being a YouTuber was even a word. That's my background. And in terms of what I do with, or the background of JT, but what I do with JT, I put together the videos and I also run the business and do all that fun logistical stuff.
Awesome. Cool. And then Christian, what about you?
Just like John said, we were like really close friends growing up. I mean, we've been best friends since like second grade. So when he moved away in high school, we started this YouTube channel as a way to keep in touch, and he was starting to get into like making montages on YouTube with his capture card and stuff, and I was just starting to get into music production. That's what I do on the JT Music. My side of the business is just making the songs, and we've figured out how to make it into a career, which is a blessing.
Yeah,
so
absolutely,
it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, the instrumentals are sick. They're so sick. It gets me so hyped.
Thanks, man. That's what we try to do.
Yeah, and who does the writing?
I do. We both like research the games, and John is definitely the one who has his finger on the pulse of like the game industry and like what's popular, what's going to do well. He knows a lot more about games than I do. Which helps fuel my creativity for writing the songs and everything.
Great. That's kind of like on our side, is I do all the technical side for our YouTube channel and the podcast as well. And then Will, I don't know a goddamn thing what's going on in the game industry. That's all Will. He's like, he'll text me like tweets like, dude, check it out. And we get all excited about random stuff.
Yeah, man. Having that division of labor has been like key for us. It's, yeah.
Nice. Guys joined us on a special podcast. We're today's our 1 year anniversary. We started 1 year ago this podcast, and that's
wow.
Yeah, so
congrats.
That podcast was so bad.
yeah. Going back and listening to like the first two, you're like, ugh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude, we're the same way with our stuff. Like, listening to our... We've been making music videos for 10 years, so, like, I can't even listen to some of our old stuff. It's... There's... But you gotta treasure it for the nostalgia value, you know? You gotta take it for what it's worth.
100%.
I don't know, in my case.
Yeah, exactly, John. See where you come from, and yeah
for sure. A year ago Will had basically no on-air experience at all, and his delivery with his voice was absolutely hilarious. Like, we should have
full-on robot.
Yeah, he's like, can we do a rehearsal? I'm like, sure. Like, you basically just never do a rehearsal ever, because the gold comes out when you're not recording always, so you always just go. And we're like, sure, let's do a rehearsal. So, and then Will starts talking like a robot. He's like, how's it going, everybody? It was just, oh, it was gold.
Yeah, we ventured into podcasts once, and we recorded our first three before we even decided to publish it. Or even to the fourth one we recorded is what we ended up publishing.
Yeah. You always get surprised, though. You make something and you just critique it super hard because you made it and you want it to be the best it can be, and then it's actually fine. Sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
But you're always your hardest critic.
Yep.
Sorry.
So,
amen to that.
What's your guys' favorite games to play?
I mean, it's always rotating, but I think the consistent like one that's always present is... is Overwatch. I mean, that's just... I mean, we can always fall back to that.
For sure.
And then, in terms of, like outside of that, for me personally, I'm playing a lot of Battlefield 5. I'm a big Battlefield fan ever since the beginning. And I'm just starting to dabble with Escape from Tarkov, which is a pretty interesting game. It's very, very hardcore, I guess, in terms of the way it breaks down guns and gear and stuff like that. But it's cool.
Nice. I played Battlefield 5 and I wasn't a fan. I mean, I'm a Battlefield fan, but Battlefield 5 didn't impress me like Battlefield 1 did.
Really?
I'm with you on that, but to my discredit, I'm not a very strategic gamer. I'm like when I tried playing Battlefield 5 with John and our buddies, they're much more seasoned veterans of Battlefield than I am, but I just had a hard time like getting into it, for me personally at least.
I have to give it another go, because we were getting exceptionally railed that session.
True, that's true. That is also true. But I can admit that game is gorgeous, and it is so... Yeah. The sound design is fucking amazing. That is a masterpiece. A masterpiece of... multiplayer for sure.
Yeah, the sound design is good. I there's a lot of things I do like about the game. The one thing that bothered me the most was that like everyone's a fucking scout. Like everybody. Like you're like, all right, you like run 20 steps and you get sniped immediately.
Oh yeah. Like so nobody wants to be a medic because all the medics just get destroyed.
Yeah.
People have picked up smoke grenades now, so that has mitigated some of that.
That's good.
So,
okay. Hey, I gotta give it a second try.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yes, I got to give it a first.
Yeah.
But yeah, like John was saying though, I think our go-to is Overwatch. That's just like what I love about Overwatch is I can just pick a class like a tank or a healer and just like sit comfortably in that class, which you could argue about Battlefield 2, but like I feel like with Overwatch, we put so many hours into it that I can just like brainlessly lock into Lucio or Soldier 76 and I just adore that game.
Well, it's just good at not becoming stale because all the characters play so differently. And even if you are stuck to one archetype of support, you know, all those support characters play differently. Where if you were to play Battlefield and you always were a medic, you know, that's such a one-track gameplay style. So that's, I feel like, why something like Overwatch can be played for so long is, I mean, there's 28 characters now. There's 28 different ways to play the game, and then you have all the other teams' meta. I mean, it's just like a masterpiece of a game, I feel.
I actually have not played Overwatch, and the way you guys are talking about it, you're making me want to play the goddamn game. I should get it now.
Yeah, definitely, especially if you're a PC gamer. It's great on consoles, too. But, I mean, anything on PC will typically obviously be better.
Yeah, for sure. They're cross-platform or no?
No cross-platform.
That's too bad. They're all getting into it, yeah. Sony was taking some heat last year, so.
Yeah, rightfully so, I'd say.
For sure. All right, yeah. Cool. So let's just tap into the music and video games. So one of my most favorite composers is definitely Kanji Kondo. Sorry, I said his name wrong. I have a thing for butchering everybody's names on this podcast. It's a very recurring theme. Especially,
you'll get used to it.
Yeah, especially Asian names. Like, ooh. It's brutal. Anyways, yeah, basically when you want to make a good video game, you just take Shigeru Miyamoto and Kanji Kondo and then, like, Eiji Aonuma, and, like, that just makes a masterpiece of a game. Like, any Zelda I can think of that were, those three were together are just amazing. And even Super Mario, you know? The soundtrack's so legendary, it's so recognizable around the world.
Was Koji Kondo the guy who did the Super Mario theme?
Yes, he was the original composer, yeah.
Oh, wow. Sorry, I'm not familiar with him, but I'm looking him up right now. That's okay. All right, that's all you need to say. Zelda and Super Mario.
Yeah, he's
been around a while.
Yeah, he's like the godfather of video game music, as Shigeru Miyamoto is like the godfather of just video games, period. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah. If the music's really, really good, it just pulls you right into the game, and an interesting one was actually Breath of the Wild, because they used the piano as the main instrument in all of the compositions that they made for the game. And there's a lot of areas in the game where they don't have any music at all, you know, and it's so fitting. It's like the sound design in that game specifically was so well done.
Yeah, it wasn't, I was actually, so, full disclaimer, out of the two of us, I did not
play it. I was about to admit I have not played Breath of the Wild.
But for Breath of the Wild,
was
the one and only Zelda game, period, between the two of us that we played. And, I mean, it's like a top five game I've ever played of all time. And the music I was confused about, but the way you just outlined it totally makes sense, because there was such like a subtle, subliminal just immersion from it. It was almost like the absence of it like really brought you in when you could hear the wind blowing and you could see the feedback of the grass going along with it.
Yep.
So yeah, that was interesting that you pointed that out, because I never was able to really digest it. I didn't like hate it, but I didn't love it in regards to the music in Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, and especially when you're sneaking around and there's no music playing and you can hear your own footsteps, and then as soon as an enemy sees you and then the piano goes doo-doo-doo-doo, and you're like, oh, fuck. Yeah, so yeah, it was really well done. That's interesting that you started with that Zelda game. I'm actually curious to know, for somebody who's only played that Zelda game, to go back and play the old ones, because this new one like blew every Zelda fan's mind because they reinvented the wheel successfully.
That's exactly what I was going to ask. Like, if they went back, what would they think of the older Zelda titles?
I don't know. I'd be curious. I mean, I've seen Ocarina of Time. I've been exposed to that a lot, so I have that at least, but in terms of actually playing, you know, I think there's a whole different dynamic there.
I remember watching a Let's Play of Ocarina of Time back in, I think it was 2014, because, again, neither of us were Zelda fanboys, like, back in the day. We played, like, a lot of Mario stuff, like Smash Brothers, but never played Zelda games, which is weird. Like, it's strange that we just never tapped into those. But I remember watching a Let's Play of Ocarina of Time and being blown away for how much of an RPG it was, for how long ago it was created, because I was a huge Skyrim fanboy, as a lot of people were. But I was blown away by, like, how much of an RPG it was ahead of its time. And I feel like it's always going to be timeless.
Yeah. Absolutely. Even the old classic Zelda games, like I was just saying on the last podcast we did, the first Zelda game was so fucking hard. It was so hard. Like, they just, like,
I still think the second beats it, no matter what.
Yeah, the second one doesn't count, though, because it's not really, it doesn't really fall into the
timeline.
The, like, mold of Zelda. It's like its own game.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a side scroller, like, yeah. I don't know.
What about Majora's Mask, though? I thought that had some really good music.
Yeah, Majora's Mask was really interesting. That one is, basically, they released Ocarina of Time and everyone's minds were blown in 1997 or whatever it was. And then they released a full year later, Majora's Mask, which was based off the same game engine, but a new story. And it was a very interesting spin on the whole game, or on the whole franchise, because it totally tossed up how everything works. So a lot of people didn't understand it, but for those who did and played through it, it was one of the best games in the franchise for sure.
I didn't watch a Let's Play on that, but I did see Game Theories. They did like an episode on Majora's Mask. That was pretty compelling.
Yeah,
at least I thought it was.
Yeah, is it the theory that Link's actually dead and he's going through the stages of accepting his death? Yeah,
yep.
Yeah,
yep.
So good.
So what are your thoughts on that?
That theory is actually very interesting to me, because the way they describe it basically makes so much sense. Because you go through the game and you like start by riding your horse, and then you get mugged by this dude, and then he steals your Ocarina of Time and your whatever else, and then you get transported into this like random ass like different land other than Hyrule, and I was like, what the fuck's going on? But I mean, it all makes sense that he died that night, and then now he's going through all five stages of grief for dying. So like, yeah, it was really, really interesting to me, and all the game elements surrounding each stage makes so much sense when you think about it that way too. So it was very, very well done, and if for Nintendo to have pulled that off in that fashion is like absolutely mind blowing.
Yep.
So,
that's
yeah.
Also the beauty of game theory is that as soon as MatPat makes an episode on something, you can't not think about it in that light. You're like, no, Link's dead. He's dead.
Yeah. So let's get back to you guys now. I think my favorite rap so far is the Fortnite rap. I really like the music video for it. It just made me laugh because it's just like, that's basically me every game. It's just like drop in and die.
Yep.
So
that's us.
Yeah,
that's like completely rooted in our own frustrations with the game. So
yeah, and yeah. Of course, when you start playing the game early on, before they even had the practice area, like we play with guys that are really good. We play with a guy named BJCMS. He's he gets like 15 to 20 kills a game. Like he's just a monster. And
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's carried us many times.
Yeah, he's gotten us all of our wins for sure. But anyways, he's really good. But when we play by ourselves, especially early on, like I was saying, you drop in and then you die right away, and it gives you absolutely no time to like get better and learn from your mistakes. It's just like, oh, I dropped in and I don't have a weapon, and then I die.
Yeah,
yeah, super frustrating.
It was also like the building. Yeah. I wasn't used to that. I'm used to like shooters, Halo, stuff like that, and then taking cover behind a tree. But I'm not expecting the tree to be destroyed.
Yeah. The building, it's interesting to see how that kind of just evolved organically, but as that became more and more the mainstay, that's the more and more I drifted away from the game. It just becomes a game of who has more materials, you know?
Pretty much.
Instead of, I mean, there's still skill in the building, don't get me wrong there, but if you have two equal people, you know, it's going to be the one who had more mats in the end.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It kind of killed it for me. I never really loved it. I was more about PUBG. By the end, I mean, now I would say I'm officially sick of battle royales.
Yeah, yeah, I haven't picked up Fortnite in about a year now, and I don't plan on doing it again.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's been a little less than a year, Will.
Because
we started the podcast a year ago, and we've talked about it at least.
Oh yeah, I guess last summer, whatever. Feels like a year. I don't plan on going back.
No. Yeah, it's quite annoying. You're gonna say something, Christian?
Not. I was just gonna agree with John that we've just been burnt out. Like, not just from Fortnite, but kind of it really has been like Battle Royale in general. Like, we haven't really gotten back into PUBG much. It's still fun to go back every now and then, but like, especially with Fortnite, like my biggest thing with Fortnite was the building. Like that I just couldn't get down, and I agree that it does take skill to do that and have the build battles, like that's cool, but like that ruined it for me. That absolutely ruined it for me. It was like, this is Minecraft Battle Royale, and you know, I'm not gonna hate on people who do like it, but it's just not my thing.
I'm out. Even Ninja has jumped ship. He's on Sea of Thieves now.
Oh, really? So that's why Sea of Thieves is so bumping right now.
Yeah.
Who was it that brought it back? Not Josh OG. Oh, Summit. Summit. Yeah, Summit. I started watching him.
His troll videos on that are priceless. Where he's like hijacking the ships.
Yeah.
And
oh,
like,
I love it.
He like camps on ships for hours and like he's, oh man.
He played with Tim the Tapman earlier this week, and Tim didn't, he's still getting this, like, getting the controls down, didn't know what he was doing, and they're like, Tim, we're trying to sink the ship, get over here, your fatness can sink it faster. He's just like, I'm on my way.
Oh, that game's so good. It, like, the thing about Fortnite is it, like, well, just I'll lay down the bases, I like voice over IP in games, so like with PUBG you have that, it's just not well very utilized, but like Fortnite it's always restricted into squad because it's a children's game, and you, that's the best way you can like control the memeing and toxicity and weird stuff that people will say. But with Sea of Thieves, it's just open, and it just creates such an immersive world where you can be a pirate and you're interacting with people openly in a world. It's already an immersive game, and I don't know, that's my favorite thing.
Yeah,
like, you can just.
Yeah, I agree with you. Sorry, no. We're going to go back and play it. We played it when it first came out, and we were actually disappointed with how empty the game was. We played it for about a month or so, and I just watched a video of a guy. He was showing all the stuff that's in the game now, and it actually looks quite interesting, so we might go back and play it.
You should, because I agree with you. When we first played it, we had a squad of four other pirates, so we had a full galleon all the time, and that made it fun. But it still, despite that fact, it still kind of felt a little empty. Rare has really put a lot of effort into building that world, so definitely give it another shot. It be worth it, matey.
Yeah, it's funny, just before Sea of Thieves went all big in the stream world again, literally a week or two before that, I said to Will, hey, we should play Sea of Thieves again and stream it and say, like, is it worth it a year later kind of thing? And then as soon, you know, he's like, oh, maybe not yet, maybe we'll wait a bit. And then, of course, it freaking explodes, and we're like, I'm like, dude, that could have been us, like, a week ago.
Yeah, well, so Summit started playing, though, before Christmas, and then just, he started getting more subscribers than Ninja.
Yeah. Huh. But go ahead, sir.
Why didn't Ninja jump ship? Or is he just not? Is he just splitting time now? Or is like Fortnite?
I think he's still
him?
Playing Fortnite, but I don't think he likes losing subscribers, and he's gonna go to the most popular game that Twitch has. I think
it's so funny. That Sea of Thieves is big again.
Yeah,
I never thought that would happen.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Good for them. They deserve it.
Yeah, we did have a lot of fun on the game, though. We played with our friend Cole and Terry Berry. And taking the skull forts was fun, especially when you're like, hey, we're, you know, the skull fort's almost dead, and then you see like two galleons coming in, you're like, fuck, all right,
yeah.
Anyways,
we played once where someone stole the key, and we were just like on a wild chase with them for hours, like a 6-hour chase to get the key and to go back to the island.
Yeah, we got one of those.
That's
two.
That's what Cole does. He steals the key from people, and then he'll hide it.
Yeah, they have a really
dude,
good...
Dude, John, you just gave me PTSD thinking about that mission. We spent so long trying to find that guy. Oh, my God.
Oh, I got one of ours, too. Someone did the same thing. They didn't do the same thing. They won the skull fort, and then we tried to kill them all. And they ended up sinking our ship and then getting all the treasure. But while they were loading up all the treasure, we were hauling ass back to that island, and then we were chasing them for probably 2 hours. I think you were here with us, Will. It was either me, or you and Cole or somebody. But they were almost getting away, and then we were in a sloop, so we were...
Was it the Kraken?
Yeah, it was when the Kraken got them, and they're just holding them in place, and we're like, come on, Kraken, and we're shooting cannonballs super far away, we're shooting people over to the ship to help sink it and all that, and then we were going to wait for the Kraken to go away and then swoop in and take all the treasure. But we ended up getting thwarted on that plan. We were choked.
Yeah,
but that's the thing about the game, is it creates stories, and that's what's awesome about it. Even PUBG was good at creating stories. That was something fresh that I was able to bring back, because I don't know, I'm like a jaded mid-20s guy now. Like, the last few years of gaming, I've been super jaded, but even, like I keep saying it, PUBG and Sea of Thieves definitely, like, brought out the imagination child, play-pretend side of me, just, like, get going in with the guys and being a soldier or being a pirate for a couple hours.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, dude, even speaking to that, like, I feel like, especially when Sea of Thieves first came out, we talked in pirate talk the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, sure, it was kind of a meme, but we were also just kind of, like, having fun, like, oh, we've got enemies starboard, matey. Ah, raise the sails. Ah, turn the cannons. And, like, it kind of blended between doing a character versus we were, like, actually just, like, playing pretend with each other. Like, it was magical. Especially for, oh, man. Beautiful game.
It is
so,
a good
game,
yeah.
I think the moral of the story is you guys need to get back into Sea of Thieves.
Absolutely. We'll crew up. We'll crew up and we'll join you guys.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Absolutely.
We'll get a fleet of ships.
Yeah.
Don't mess with us.
Nice. So they have a second ship now, I understand.
It's a three-person ship.
Does it have two sails?
Yes, two sails, three cannons on each side.
Last time we played, we were literally screaming for that because three's just not enough to do a galleon. It's just too much running around but that's good. And the music in Sea of Thieves actually is super catchy. I can't remember the name of the one. Do 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 that one.
Just like the classic pirate shanties.
Pretty well, yeah. I tried to make a metal cover on that, but didn't.
Even the music when you're sailing. Like, just the open seas is very atmospheric. And then when you get close to, like, a Skull Island, that, like, it makes you feel like you're fucking Orlando Bloom or Johnny Depp. And
We play them. Whenever we're, like, chatting on Discord, we have a Discord bot so we can pull it up and play songs off of YouTube. So, like, I like to blast the Pirates of the Caribbean song as we're charging towards people.
Oh, that's awesome.
So good.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yep. Cole and Terryberry, a lot of fun to play with, too. Terryberry's so good at the game. He's really good at PvP, and he's always one step ahead of everybody. Like, we're panicking on our galleon, like, oh, we gotta patch all the holes and you know, bail water. And then we're like, Terryberry, get over here and help us. He's like, it's okay, I have a powder keg, and I'm under the ship.
John, that's our friend Transform.
Yeah,
we've got a buddy who's like he is our Jack Sparrow, and he's constantly like, guys, we need to raise the sails, we got to do this, load the cannons. Like, he is constantly aware of everything that's going on. You need to have that person when you're playing that game. That's the only way that you can succeed as a good pirate.
Yeah,
gotta have a captain.
Oh, didn't Mark drop the key at one point from the Skull Fort? And then we were literally swimming around the entire Skullfort Island looking for it.
Oh, he dropped it in the water. Yes, he did.
Oh, rookie mistake.
Yeah, and I think it despawned. But yeah, what Cole likes to do is he will take the key and then we'll sail away to the closest island and he'll hide it on the island. And then he'll stay there and we'll circle around the island and try to sink all the ships. And either they all sink or, you know, they sink us and then they realize that the key's gone and then they screw off. And then we come back and take our stuff.
Oh, that's the way to do it.
Yeah. So
a little shady.
Oh, well.
Lots of
there'd be nothing too shady for a true pirate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going back, though, on what you said of being, like, jaded with the games lately, I feel the same way, and we did a podcast recently, and there's a YouTube video Rodney put out is, why games suck now? Or
yeah,
why
new games continue to fail? And basically, the gist of the video is it's everyone does the same formula every single time where they're like, hey, for example, this year, 2018, they're like, hey, Battlefield 4. And then they're like, oh shit, Call of Duty, Battlefield 5. And then they're like, oh shit, Call of Duty Black Ops 4. And they're like trying to rival each other. So they just like rush the games out and release them basically at the same time. And both games weren't fucking ready. And we're like, the fuck. So they said, oh, we have all these other DLCs planned, and they're going to come out very, very soon. And they kept getting delayed. And like, basically, you bought an $80/$100 game, and you got like 40% of the game, and you have to wait even longer for the rest of the game. So it's like, why don't you just delay the whole game and release a full package deal? You know?
Yeah. Well, I saw an article about how release dates are going to become less and less known, and we're just going to be dealing with games work like a work in progress kind of thing for a bit now, just because Fortnite I mean, obviously, and Sea of Thieves are both just that, games that were released maybe a little too early with not enough content, and they just keep getting perpetually added to. So,
yeah. So yeah, we yeah, like I agree with you and Will, jaded with games for sure. So I'm hoping 2019 is a little bit different, but everyone's joining the DLC train just to make a couple of extra bucks.
Yeah, I mean, at least it's better than it used to be in terms of like games aren't dividing player bases anymore. Like Battlefield 5, all the new maps are free, so you don't have to, like, if you buy the new maps, you know, you're not going to be able to play with anyone because no one's buying them. So that's a good change. And we're not dealing with horse armor anymore from Oblivion.
Oh god, oh, so. Fuck that.
So they've seemed to, I mean, DLC's annoying, and there's case, in some cases where it should have been in the full game, but I don't know. I don't think it's as bad as it used to be.
Like, to play devil's advocate, to think about it from a business standpoint, they're trying to like keep up with, because the games are all like, a lot of stuff is subscription based nowadays. Even YouTube, like even like music streaming, like
oh yeah,
Apple Music, Spotify. Like I feel like a lot of game developers are trying to capitalize on the just, oh, we're gonna release this, it might not be the full release, but you buy the DLC season package and then we're gonna keep releasing stuff, or microtransactions that we know EA is infamous for. I'm not saying I agree with it, especially after
I'm just gonna see what they can get away with.
Yeah.
until something like a Star Wars Battlefront happens.
Yeah, or Fallout 76.
Speaking of EA, Rodney and I have been playing the VIP demo for Anthem.
Oh, what do you guys think?
Go ahead.
It's an interesting take on a game.
Yeah, the mechanics are quite nice. It someone said this before we started playing and it intrigued us. It says it plays like Destiny but better. And they have Fort Tarsus, which is going to be the social hub. They didn't have a lot in the demo with that, because I don't think they wanted you to stay there. They wanted you to go out and get in your javelin and start flying around and doing stuff. The flying is, like, one of the best mechanics in the game. It feels so natural, and it's...
Very fluid.
Very fluid, yeah. And the fighting is really good. It takes a little bit of getting used to, because you can... basically, you have, like, the jets in the back of your javelin, so you can spot dodge. Kind of like the thrust pack in Halo. Kind of like similar to that.
Oh, yeah.
So you can do, a spot dodge, and then you can jump up. You can do a double jump, and then you can just click the left thumbstick and start flying if you want. And then you have a melee ability, and then obviously all your weapons. So it's very cool. And then the four different javelins all interact differently. We played the Ranger, which is just the base one you start with. And then Will played as the Storm, and I played as the Interceptor. So, Will, why don't you talk about the Storm? We don't want to get too much into it, because we're going to do a podcast about it. So,
yeah. Well, I really like how each javelin kind of interacts with the other. So you can get combos going off for detonation, like bonus damage. But the Storm is more of like... trying to think. Where the Interceptor, for Rodney's case, he'd be getting close, I'd be far and doing a lot more AoE damage.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how the Storm is based. All of his attacks are mainly for multi, like AoE build, big explosions.
Yeah, and
I just want to fly like Iron Man, so if there's Iron Man feeling and big explosions, I'll be happy.
It's so definitely.
Is there limited, like, flight? Like, do you have, like, fuel or have to recharge?
Yeah, your jets overheat, but you can get you can get attributes that reduce the cooldown, and then you can all, if you fly near water, it'll cool your suit so you don't overheat. And if you, I noticed actually, if you're in a climb, like if you're gaining altitude, then your suit will overheat faster, and then if you're in a gradual descent or even a full-on like nosedive, then your suit won't overheat at all because it's not being stressed.
Oh, okay. So, that's a cool mechanic.
Yeah,
mechanic,
the javelin
yes.
flying you, mechanic, though, is definitely what you want if they ever release an Iron Man game.
Yeah, I mean, I remember playing the demo of the like Iron Man 2 game, and that was fun to feel like Iron Man, but it was still like, this is a shitty movie game.
Oh, yeah.
You know what's funny, actually? The Colossus kind of reminds me of the very first Iron Man suit that he made when he was in...
When he was kidnapped by the terrorists?
Yeah.
Marauder, isn't it? The iron...
Yeah.
Iron something. Yeah.
Kind of looks like the Hulkbuster.
Yeah, that too, yeah.
That too.
Cool.
Dude, let's bring back the OG, the first Iron Man suit to fight Thanos in Endgame. That'd be dope.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That's a little underpowered smashed. Now, though.
Instead of the nanobot thing?
Yeah, yeah. Just bring back the OG. Oh, man. But, yeah, I think for me, like, Anthem, I want to feel like Iron Man. I want to feel super OP, but they also have to balance, like, actually having a challenge in the game. I feel like that's something that's going to be...
Oh, there's definitely a challenge in the game. Like, yeah, you're in a suit of, like, super bossness, but... You step out of cover at the wrong moment when there's like a pack of enemies there and you get Shrek'd hard.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. And then if when
you're that balance fights, feels good.
Yeah.
The boss fights, if you get too close, it's like a one hit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you definitely got to plan it out like with the rest of your squad, especially based on your abilities and what weapons you have in your whatever. And the arsenal, yeah. But yeah, so yeah, the boss, that spider boss we fought was super tough. You had to like shoot her pimple sack things from the back. I don't know what the hell they're called. And then after that, you just had to keep shooting those spots. But she kept retreating and sending down minions. So then you had to defeat the minions because they're freaking annoying to fight the boss. But then she kept attacking you at the same time. So it's all about strategy and working with your team. Which is kind of like what I like about Sea of Thieves the most, too, is it forces you to be social and it forces you to work together. You know? So
That's what I like in games is teamwork and, like, not role-playing in terms of RP, but, like, playing a role, you know, being part of a unit. So
Yeah, that's definitely how Anthem plays out. So you guys would definitely want to check it out. We played it on the Xbox. I know PC, they said there's a few bugs about with the flying mechanic with the mouse.
Okay.
But I'd like to try that anyways, because I'm kind of versatile. I own every gaming system imaginable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you gotta.
What's your favorite?
You can't miss out on anything.
No, I'll switch between PlayStation. I have my Xbox. I'll have my Switch for lazy days at work.
Oh yeah,
man. My mom always told me to not play video games unless I was going to get paid for it, and sure enough.
Yeah.
Lo and behold.
So, I haven't told her yet, though, but anyways, let her think she parented me well or whatever. But anyways, you're going to say something there, John?
No, nothing. I don't think anything. I already forgot what I was going to say. Right. It wasn't a big deal.
Good stuff. But yeah, Anthem is sick. It comes out on February 22nd, so we already pre-ordered it. I think we get early access, Will, since we pre-ordered it.
That's
how most EA
sure.
games are.
Yeah.
And then they have the EA Premier Access membership, so you get it 12 days ahead, and then you have the EA Basic Premier, which means you get it 8 days ahead. It's just, like, so dumb.
Yeah.
This release model that games have now.
You know what? Actually, I think they do that so they can slowly scale up the servers and notice if they're going to, you know, encounter a Sea of Thieves like they did in their beta. Like, they just... Actually, it's pretty common. Even in this beta, I think the first day, like, no one could get online because the servers were just crashing left and right and center. And the Sea of Thieves beta that Will and I played last year, same thing. Like, the servers couldn't handle it and you couldn't get online for a good day or so.
Yeah,
but the alpha was a different story.
Yeah, the alpha was, like, empty because, like, it seemed like 5 people were playing. But including me, Will. But, yeah, no, the alpha was super empty in Sea of Thieves. Like, you could sail around... And I don't even think you could do expeditions.
No, you could just do the treasure. I think it was
they didn't have the souls missions or whatever the hell they are, and the merchant ones. Yeah, you just basically sailed around and dug up a treasure and then explored the island, and nothing was on the island. There's no like hidden treasure chests or anything. It was super empty. We're like, we're hoping the beta is better, and then the beta and the final game were like the same thing.
Yeah, basically just tech demo stage.
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, same thing with, what was the space exploration game, No Man's Sky?
No, yeah. No Man's
Sky. The game's supposed to feel empty, but it was...
Yeah.
It felt empty in terms of design.
There's too much life in this game. Remove all of it.
Yep.
Yeah.
The memes of the like the aliens, like the randomly spawned aliens in that game. Oh, they were gold though. That was the best takeaway from that game. Were those weird ass aliens, like the pig, the like no-headed pigs with wings flapping around? Like there was some ridiculous stuff. It was gold mine.
The crew probably just got drunk and then designed everything.
I see you guys have. I went to turn the music off. I see you guys have a Halo 5 rap as well here, and I'm interested to listen to that one. What do you guys think of Halo 5?
It was amazing. I can go on a rant on it if you want, but it was
John,
very
do
disappointing.
It. John, go for it. John, well, take it away. John has a good take on this. Like
it's terrible. The story is not self-contained. You know, Master Chief's story from the get-go with Halo 1 is he's a lone survivor, and then through the expanded lore, you know, you kind of learn that there's some survivors and whatnot. But from within Halo 1 through 4, you don't really, within those games themselves, there's really no allusion to other Spartans from his class, the Spartan 2, surviving. But then all of a sudden in Halo 5, his lifelong friends are here, and there's no introduction, they're just there. It's not self-contained. It's really frustrating, and it's poorly done. Like, the cutscenes are literally walking to set pieces. There's no substance. The Locke and Master Chief thing was just trash and just a dumb marketing technique and just a wasted opportunity. And all it was just a misunderstanding where the Chief was doing right, and the Locke squad who was trying to stop him, they thought he was doing wrong because they just didn't have the information. It's just, and then they go into a little fist fight and then it's over. And
it seems like they need to release a Halo 4.5 like to just open the loose ends, because like we basically joined these new timelines that like, you know, I don't, as its own game it might have been fine, but as a part of the Halo saga it was kind of shit.
Yeah, it's just bad story. I don't know. Everything is if you have a good self-contained story, and you don't need to read the 3 graphic novel prequels and watch the short film and then read these web comics to understand the game.
Yeah, fair.
It's terrible.
Yeah, they were milking the franchise hard.
Yeah, I hated how they antagonized Cortana too. It's like, dude, why?
Dude, for me, it wasn't so much that they antagonized her. Like, sure, I would be okay with them antagonizing her. It's the way they did it was just bad. I remember, I might be remembering this wrong, but I in my memory have this image of me driving a tank in one of the like third or fourth missions in Halo 5, and Cortana just talks to Chief when he's in a tank. I was in a tank, and Cortana's just like, "Hey Chief, it's me, Cortana." And Chief is like, "Cortana, it's you. Hi. Oh, I didn't just have a really melodramatic breakup with you where you fucking sent me into a fucking orb and blew up the entire fucking Didax planet and fucking blew his nuts off. We didn't just have that totally melodramatic ending at the end of Halo 4, which I cried at, by the way. And then she just says, hey, what's up? Calls him up on his fucking cell phone in a tank and is just like, hey, Chief, it's me. And he's just like, okay, I'll meet you at the next checkpoint. I was like, what? Wait, no, their relationship means so much more than this. This is not, it didn't feel like Chief and Cortana's relationship. Yeah. So for me, it wasn't, like, they could have made her the bad guy, but just not in that way. It just felt so unnatural and it was...
Yeah, it just didn't work.
Yeah, didn't work at all.
Chief hangs up, I knew she'd come back.
And even that would have been better.
What are your thoughts on them continuing the saga with Infinite?
It seems, at least our art direction-wise, and I like that. I like it a lot better. And they seem to be a little bit more self-aware that they kind of fucked up. So.
Well, I think they're very aware, because like even one of my biggest problems with Halo 5 is they got rid of everything couch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the multiplayer, I thought, too, was... It was a little bit too of a harsh change, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of Halo fans didn't like it. I didn't like it because it didn't play like a Halo game. Like going into a match made game, it felt like I wasn't playing Halo. You know, it felt like I was playing like, you know, a Call of Duty Advanced Warfare 10 or some bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely trying to keep up with. They don't need to keep up. Like they have their own formula that they should just make better.
Yeah,
you know? Like Call of Duty had a formula and they keep making it better. Why do you need to like just because it's popular?
Yeah,
doesn't mean it's the only way.
Yeah,
and clearly Battle Royale emerged because people are sick of that same old stuff.
Yeah, and Halo 4's story I really really enjoyed. It was one of my favorites for sure. Mind you, I mean they're all good, but Halo 4 had more of a narrative direction than any of the other ones did.
Yeah.
So,
I think my favorite was Halo 3, but that was also like when I really like I had just gotten that was actually right around the time we started our YouTube channel, so I'm kind of partial to that. But I agree with you. I think Halo 4 was beautiful. Like again, I will admit I cried at the end of Halo 4 when she finally just like touches Chief's giant throbbing pectoral muscle it's like a beautiful moment. Like there was a lot of cool stuff that they did with Halo 4 that I just personally felt was just swept under the rug by Halo 5, but yeah. We don't have to go back into that, but
silence, let's fill it. Anyways, hey, who does the singing again, the vocals?
I do, most of the time. And unless you hear somebody who sounds like a girl, it's usually our female
sounds like a girl. She is a girl, singing like a girl.
Well, dude, sometimes I sound like a girl, John. Let's not discount me. It's usually me doing the rapping and vocals, but we also work with a girl from Australia named Andrea Stormcaden.
Except in here and there, like for Rick and Morty, and for some reason can do a pretty good Rick.
Nice.
Impersonation.
Dude, you crushed Soldier 76.
That's not my favorite.
Like, so John is doesn't hail himself as a vocalist, but like one of his first big appearances on our channel, he did Soldier 76 in our Soldier 76 versus Reaper rap battle, which was an Overwatch rap battle, and he crushed it. Everybody loved it. I remember being a little bit nervous going into it just before we recorded because I was like, oh, this is first time doing it. But, like, I knew that John could do a good Soldier 76 impression. But it's different doing an impression versus rapping as a character.
Yeah.
So that was pretty dope. So
nice. Yeah, the music and how it's made reminds me a lot of Hollywood Undead. And it's so good. So good. I love it. And, go ahead.
My wife just introduced me to Hollywood Undead, like, a couple months ago. I was like, oh, damn, I gotta listen to more of this. Because it is crazy weird, but I love it. And I take that as a huge compliment, so thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I think one of my favorite Hollywood Undead songs is, I can't even remember the name now. Of course, I put it on the spot. Of course, I'll come up with it later. Hang on, Hollywood Undead. I'll find it. I can't even spell Hollywood. Holy shit, Hollywood Undead. Undead, the Googles. Anyways, that's, how many videos do you guys have now?
Music videos. I think about like 300, 312.
That's a lot.
Now. Yeah, I mean, we've been doing it since 2008, so it's just doing it over time, and for the last 4 or 5 years, we're doing weekly music videos. So, I mean, more or less 40 to 50 new videos a year.
Oh, yeah, okay. And
that's
awesome. I noticed you guys are on Spotify, too. I listened to some stuff on Spotify. That's all original music that's not game-based, is that correct?
All the Spotify is the same. It's the same library.
Is it? Okay.
We publish on YouTube. It's just where people can go listen, and music's on iTunes and everything as well.
Nice. It's coming soon. It's like these are the top songs from Not Everywhere I Go. Maybe it is.
We we pretty much do almost everything big besides formula. Like, well, Nintendo obviously had the whole crackdown on content, but they let up on that, so maybe we'll start to sprinkle more in there. But we do everything besides formerly Nintendo, or up until recently Nintendo stuff, and then just like Japanese anime kind of stuff we don't do too much of. But besides that, we'll do pretty much everything.
Nice. So.
Yeah.
I really liked your Resident Evil 2 rap.
Thank you.
That was awesome.
neither of us have really played a lot of Resident Evil, but with Resident Evil 2, that, like... before the game came out, there was, like, no footage out, and usually we'll do a lot of research on the game to, like, get info to make our songs and videos, but there was, like, nothing before the game came out, like, a couple days ago. So I had to go back and look at old gameplay from, like, the 1998 version, and I was blown away by how good that game was. Even in 1998, that still, like, kind of holds up. Sure, the voice acting is super cheesy and, like, kind of shitty at times, but, like, I was blown away by how it held up, and especially how true to the original the new Resident Evil 2 remake was. It was true to the original while also, like, showcasing next gen, like, graphics and gameplay. That game is a true masterpiece. I really think it is. So anyways, thank you for the compliment. Really appreciate it, because that game is a masterpiece, I think. So
I know at the end of your video it says you haven't had a chance to play it yet, have you?
Nope.
Not yet.
Just watched gameplay.
We might do a playthrough. We did a full playthrough. I think our first full playthrough ever of a game.
Of Resident Seven.
Yeah. So maybe we'll buckle down and do two.
Nice. Yeah. I like the Resident Evil franchise. I don't play as much of it as I used to. Growing up, when I was younger, I really liked those scary type games from Nintendo. Eternal Darkness. I remember Silent Hill. Resident Evil, I think there's another one. Fear, I think it was. Was it Fear?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love Fear.
Oh, Fear with Alma. Alma?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh! Sorry. I completely forgot about the game. Holy crap. Yeah, continue. Sorry.
Yeah, like, those were my games growing up, and then I guess as I got older, what I really enjoyed started to change, and I don't play those type of scary jumping games anymore.
Yeah, I didn't play them early on because I was a big chicken, but now I'm more prone to play them and more open to play them, but I'm not naturally drawn to scary stuff, I guess, is the big thing. But now I'm, like, not as big of a baby anymore.
Yeah, I remember the original Silent Hill, I think, almost gave me nightmares.
Well, Rodney's a basic bitch, so I played, what was that, Zombie U on the Wii U, and for fuck's sake, I shit my pants about every 10 minutes on that game, and it was a lot of fun, and it made you, it immersed you in the game, and because they split up all the UI stuff from the TV and put it onto the gamepad, so you actually had to look away from the TV screen to look at your UI and, like, plan out your shit, and if you weren't paying attention, a zombie might, like, sneak up to you and, like, just eat your face.
That's a good use of that peripheral, or just the controller like that.
It was, too, and then as soon as you died, you had to pick up and play as a new character, and then you'd have to go hunt down your old guy, who's now a zombie, to get your shit back.
Huh. Yeah, that was interesting. So, all right. I'm actually kind of curious, because you just mentioned that you didn't play Resident Evil, but you made a video on it. How do you go about making your content if you haven't played a game before?
Just watching a ton of Let's Plays and just doing research on the games, research on, like, what went into the development of the game, like the themes and inspirations for the game. Also, just, like, another big thing is, like, looking at the soundtrack for games.
Yeah.
A big thing that really inspired me specifically for the Resident Evil song, for the one we just did, was looking up the Mr. X theme. I don't know if you guys have listened to that by itself, but the Mr. X theme, like the tyrant theme, the big guy in the...
Yeah.
You know Mr. X. That music is... Oh, my God. That track, it's not melodic at all. It's all just bangy percussion and just creepy, undulating synths and super bassy, and it's just nuts, and it just makes you feel the fear of this giant indestructible behemoth coming after you, ready to fist your ass wide open, and it's nuts. So I like getting too deep here, pun intended. But no, I like listening to the soundtrack for like the games that we do or the games that we cover.
Any of the marketing materials, generally, I mean, it's there to inform you before it's out, before it exists. So that's just generally helpful.
Exactly. That all helps the creative juices get flowing, and it's easy because we just love video games. That's our muse, so it's super easy. It comes pretty naturally most of the time.
Awesome. Yeah, it's. I actually noticed too that all the tracks that come out from you guys has it basically fits into the genre of the game. It just like it, you've either adapted or readapted elements that they've used in the game into your own music, or it just fits with the exact genre of the game itself.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. The whole point is to be a value add, something that seamlessly mixes into the game. So I think that's the trick, you know, is to make it immersive and part of the experience that someone has already subscribed to with being interested in the game. So that's just something we try to do.
Nice. Do you guys do any live shows by chance?
Not
really.
Not as like a thing, but it like performing live is like plugged in here and there in odd situations, but it's not like a like there's no touring or anything like that.
Video games live. You guys could probably headline that.
What's that? Is that a?
It's a touring. I'm trying to think of how to describe them. They basically they go around and they go to like big ass auditoriums. Like Will and I've been to them. I think twice.
Once with you, but I've been there like three times.
I've been there three times too. Once with you, yeah. But they go around and these composers have written basically. Orchestrated movements of every, like, not every game, but big game franchises. So Nintendo's a big one. They'll do, I don't think they've done a Halo one yet, but they have all these different CDs out, and they'll
Final Fantasy.
Yeah, they do Final Fantasy, stuff like that. Anyways, they'll go to these auditoriums, they'll get the local orchestra in, and then they'll give them all the sheet music, and then they'll play the music live, like a live orchestra, and then they'll have a TV and stuff in the background, playing, like, clips from the game while they play. It's really, really cool. And then the one we went to, me and Will, they brought the guy from that wrote the original Pokemon theme, and he performed it live, and we were like geeking out so hard.
Dude!
Jason Patrick, cool. I think? Yeah.
No, Jason Page.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it was Jason Page. Yeah, go ahead.
Jason Page.
Dude, I'll say somebody I really want to see live is what's his name? He made the Doom soundtrack. Doom 2016 soundtrack. What's his name? Oh, I'm looking it up right now. He did a live performance at like QuakeCon. Mick Gordon. That dude. If you guys have any free time, look up the making of the Doom 2016 soundtrack. It is nuts. He combined aspects of like metal, guitar, dubstep, synthesizers. It's incredible, but he did a live performance at QuakeCon, and it was nuts, like face-melting nuts. So they should get that guy to do some
live stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
I really like the new Doom. I'm looking right now, and it says he's back for Doom Eternal. So.
Oh hell yeah!
That's awesome.
It's like a universal highlight of that game from everyone. So I would hope so.
Nice. he also did Wolfenstein.
That makes sense.
Okay.
John, is this your sexy face on the end screen of the YouTube videos?
If it's me, then it is. I don't know.
It depends.
If it's a...
If, It's,
I was gonna say, if it's a bearded guy with long hair,
a white guy with a beard and long hair, it could be either one of us.
I got glasses, actually. That's a different. If it's glasses, it's me.
Okay, it's not glasses. It's
that's Christian.
It's okay. Gotcha.
Unless I was wearing contacts that day.
I mean, you can you can probably listen to the voice and get a.
Enjoyed. Have had a lot of memories with. We know
that's me.
That's you. Okay.
Yep.
All right. So. You got the looks, but not the voice, maybe. Who knows? I'm just kidding.
No, it's true.
So,
it sounds like a guy who's holding his nose. Hey, guys, thanks for watching our video. Yeah, just,
let me just EQ you there. Holy fuck, no, just kidding. All right, cool. Thanks a lot for joining us today, guys. We're heading to the end here. So if you guys want to check them out, JT Music on YouTube, they got a lot of subs, so they're definitely worth listening to. And they're dope, like I said earlier. That's twice now. You can write that down, Will, twice on the podcast that I've said dope. So
we'll see if that comes up again.
I don't use the word dope because I don't like it, but I reserve it for like special occasions like this one.
Well, thank you very much for having us. We really appreciate it.
No problem. And if you guys want to let us know what you thought of the show, join us on our Facebook page, Video Games Now, and up on our website at videogamesnow.ca. And we want to make sure you guys are enjoying the content that we're making, so let us know what you guys think. And check out our shop on our website as well. We got some shirts up there. We got our breathalyzer shirt, which is a guy blowing into a NES cartridge as a breathalyzer, which is really funny to us. It's one of our favorites. And yeah, we want to give one away soon, so stay tuned for that, and we'll see you guys all in the next one. Bye-bye.
Later.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.